is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. Before you today, and we exalt your name, Lord Jesus, and we thank you that we can sing these songs. We recognize your sovereignty over us, Lord, that you are great beyond our comprehension. And Jesus, I pray that you would move me aside and the teachers aside today, and only let the truth of your word come forth. God, let it go down in the depths of our soul, God, from the head to the heart, Lord Jesus, and may we know how to apply it and live it out in our life. And God, I pray for every person in this room to be empowered by your Spirit to reach this community with the gospel and wherever you send us, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you would just take away our shame, our fear, and the things that would distract us from your word today. That Holy Spirit be all of you, that you would have all of us, God, and that you would lead us, God, convict us, move us, and mold us, God. That we would not just be status quo Christians, God, but that we'd be Christians filled with the fire of your Spirit, God, today. God, I pray that you'd send each person out with boldness, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that this would be a time, God, that people would be filled up, God, with the treasures of your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes. Yes. Yes, alive. Amen. You may be seated this morning, and let's pray. Father, we do come again before you, Lord Jesus, and God, we pray against wrong understanding or imbalanced understanding of your word, and even things that are depression, Father God, that lead depression. Lord, you said he who the Son sets free is free indeed, and you've taken our sins, and we were dead in our sins. You've made us fully alive in Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask, Lord, and that you would remove these attitudes and spirit of depression, God, from people right now, Lord Jesus. God, that you'd wash from our hearts and minds cynicism, Lord Jesus, that our faith would not just be of the brain or the head, but combined with the heart, God, with the passion and fuel of grace, Lord God. Jesus, I pray that you would move in our lives today and encourage us, God. Encourage every brother and sister that's discouraged today. Lord, as we look at your glory, we see how sinful we really are. But at the same time, when we look at your glory, we see the solution and we see the forgiveness and we receive the grace. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to see the glory of God in light, and comparing the smallness of our sin and our lives and the greatness of Jesus Christ, who swooped in and saved us from glory to glory, Lord God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we, this in our lessons have been focusing on, or that lesson was about sin. In a world that, excuse me, that believes that we're all basically good as humans, sin has come in the earth, and we have the greatest message and the good news to offer to this world because we have the solution to sin. Jesus Christ came to reverse the effects of the fall. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. And I want to talk about displaying Christ in a culture of woke hypocrisy. Displaying Christ in a culture of woke hypocrisy. And more and more and more, we're going to be dealing with hypocrisy where people are pretending to be good moral people and will lead you and make you think that what you're doing that's according to the Bible or according to the Scriptures is wrong and sinful somehow. And so we're going to unpack how Jesus dealt with this kind of hypocrisy. And I think it's very appropriate, very timely for what we're facing in this nation. And there's another term for my sermon this morning. It would be pay your taxes. And everybody get excited when it comes to tax time. And I don't think anything of it now that I have a tax woman that does the taxes for me in the house. I don't have to worry about it. But tax time comes and we begrudge and say, well, do I have to give taxes? And then we have a president who had the audacity after 2 days being in office, did an executive order so that some of our tax money goes to fund abortions in other states as if that's the most important thing to do. And so we say, why should I pay taxes when these kinds of things are happening? Well, we're going to unpack why, and we're going to look at what Jesus says, and we're going to deal with this whole hypocrisy. We're going to display Christ in a culture of woke hypocrisy. Now, remember, Jesus had taken a very, very, very strong stand and cleared out the temple. I don't think we realize how powerful that really is. That would be as if there was a, let's say just down at the Capitol in Charleston, that there was a marketplace everywhere, and let's just say the church parking lot. Let's not leave the Capitol alone for right now. I'm going to get to that later. But let's say this whole church parking lot was a zoo, and we had talked about what if we made a road through the sanctuary and so that people will be distracted in their worship. That's what was happening. So and he clears them all out and stands in their way. That ticked the Herodians and the Pharisees out because it was now going to affect their pocketbooks because they had a little thing going on where they would make money off of these things, as you remember. So he cleared them out, and these religious leaders were upset. And last week we looked at how they challenged his authority, and Jesus, so in a powerful way, turned it around on them. And so now we see something really strange happening. We have in verse 13, I want to read this, and they sent to him, and we're in Mark chapter 12, verse 13, they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. Now, in order to understand the power of this, the Pharisees were what was considered the conservative religious group of the day. They were concerned about the religious things, but they used religious things to make money for themselves. So then you have the Herodians, who were considered the liberals, and you're going to say, wow, the uncanniness and how the close this sounds like to our political parties in this country right now and what's happening. And they hated each other. They hated each other because the Herodians were basically in bed with Rome. They were in favor for Rome, and they were all about political power and political agenda. They were Jews, but they catered to the Romans. So the Pharisees hated them. So they were considered liberals. They were part of Rome. They were Jews that had sold out, so to speak. They hated each other, but yet we see them coming together right here and right now with a common hatred of Jesus. You know, much like we will probably see more and more, even in our political realm in our country, of both parties, if someone, and someone did, or tried for a time period, went against the system and went against the flow and were bringing jobs back to America, both political parties were upset and didn't like it. Because there's something behind the scenes that lines their pockets. This is exactly what was happening in the temple and in Jesus' time. And so we see people getting upset about their political agendas and religious, using even religious things to line their pockets with money. These hypocrites were looking for hypocrisy in Jesus. And so beautifully, Jesus escaped their trap in a way that all the Herodians and the Pharisees could see that it was their own hypocrisy. So they went to try to find hypocrisy, but in their finding of trying to find hypocrisy, they saw the hypocrisy in themselves. And so Jesus was just a master of getting out of the trap, and they trapped themselves in their own trap. He demonstrates how we maintain his light in the midst of a culture that believes they are woke, but yet are seething with hypocrisy. And we've talked about this before, but I think this is so important moving forward, that those that say that they're woke, everything is based on feeling, right? But there is this aura or this outward shell of morality, and then there's a double standard behind the scene, right? But let's take it from political realm to the church realm in America and what we're dealing with as a church. How about when we protest and we stand up against abortions, but while the while we're tolerating divorce and immorality in the church and promoting the brokenness of the family? Have you ever thought about that? We want to claim our religious right, but yet the church overall in America does not practice what they say that they believe. We become this liberalized form of Christianity catering to the things of the world, but displaying Christ in a culture of hypocrisy means that, first of all, we need to get out of it ourselves. We can't be like the guy with a wooden leg who said, "Curse the dwell that took me limb." And the tree's like, "Hey, wait a minute. You took my limb." It's hypocrisy. We all hate hypocrisy. And this is my warped humor, right? But let's look at number one. How are we going to display Christ in the midst of a world filled with hypocrisy, church world, religious world, political world, family world. Number one, we have to first of all realize that everyone or the world around us is watching us and they're trying to trap you, because Christ in your life, as he stood in the temple and blocked people from going through to make it a place of worship for the Gentiles, stands in the way of culture's evil agenda. Did you know that if you practice your Christianity, you are, not you, but Jesus in you, stands in their way? This is why they're watching. So the first thing is to realize this is why people are watching. That's why that we need to wake up and we need to realize, okay, there's people trying to trap me, because everything that I stand for goes counterculture. They say morality is based on how I feel. God says morality is based on what I say, on truth. There's two very different philosophies. Those that display Christ know the difference between popular cultural preferences and then mandates and law. That was supposed to be one word, not a date with a man, but mandates. I think that as Christians, if we are going to realize, and in other words, be in this place where Jesus in our life stands against the agenda, we have to first understand the difference between what's popular and cultural. You can bet that people that were going through the temple and using it as a road and were setting up their marketplaces thought that that was the law. Because the TV, the media, the religious leaders had made it popular. Right? And so when they walked through, they didn't think anything of it. Jesus comes in and stops them, right? Kicks them out. And he had legal right as a rabbi to do that, because it was the law to not make it a road for the place of the Gentiles. It was the Jewish law, conservative law, that was not to be allowed. We need to realize the difference between cultural preferences or what political or politicians will say as mandates when we have a rule of law called a constitution, at least for right now. So if we're going to realize that, we have to take our stand in Jesus Christ, our stand on the Word of God, which is our rule of law, no matter what other people say. And those who display Christ do not personalize these attacks, because they understand Jesus is the reason. It's not that I'm standing in their way, little old me, but it's Christ in me. It's his agenda of truth that stands in their way. Now, notice how the religious leaders, as we read on in their attempt to appear like they are sincerely coming to Jesus, how they declare the truth about Jesus and they expose their own hypocrisy. This is interesting. Look in verse 14. And they came and said to him, "Teacher." Now you can see they're dripping with, it's like when your kids come to you, "I love you, Mom." And they just get overly affectionate. You're like, "What did they do? Or what are they about to ask me for?" Right? Dripping with that idea. So they said, "We know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion." Was that true? Yes, it was true. But they were putting on a mask, pretending to be on Jesus' side, but inadvertently they were speaking the truth about Jesus. They said, "Well, you don't care about anyone's opinions, for you're not swayed by appearances." The Pharisees, remember now, were big on appearances and how they looked on the outside to other people. That's why they prayed loudly on the street corners. "Look at me, I'm spiritual." That's why they put their $10 bill in pennies. And so they, when they walked in the temple and gave it, it made a loud crash in the offering plate. And everybody could hear, "Oh, that man is spiritual and gave a lot." But notice how they exposed their own hypocrisy. He says, "You're not swayed by appearances, but you truly teach the way of God." Now, did they really believe that? They didn't themselves, but they were saying the truth. It's so beautiful how they expose and bring out the truth just by what they're saying. Number two, The second thing that we need to do is we're going to survive and live in this culture and stand for Christ and be the light is beware when people pretend to be moral or on your side because Christ in your life is going to bring the hypocrisy of others to light. Folks, just by you existing, it makes other people angry, and you have to realize that because it's Christ in you. But I urge you to take great care and pains that we do not become hypocrites ourselves. They were trying to find it in Jesus. They're going to try to find it in you and going to try to find a reason to trap you. But if you are living holy before the Lord, there's nothing they can find. And just by the manner of your walking in, people will feel angry and convicted. And so we need to realize that. They don't understand why everybody at work hates me. I didn't even witness to them or say anything to them. It's because while they're doing something dishonest with their paperwork, you don't. And that shines light on them, right? When they're trying to smooge the boss and do deceptive things, you stand in their way because you don't do those things. And so automatically, you're a person of light if you follow Jesus Christ, and it exposes the darkness. So those that display Christ, as Jesus did, and they pointed it out, do not care about popular opinions. Jesus didn't care about what the religious leaders said. He did not care about the cultural mandates to set up a marketplace in the temple. That was not the law, especially the law of God. Those that display Christ do not care about popular opinions. And those that display Christ do not get swayed by outward appearances. It's what seems good on the outside, having a form of authority or power or whatever that might be. Just because it's a commercial on TV or just because they've filtered it out of Facebook, it doesn't mean that it's not true. We need to research what truth is and what God's Word says. Those that display Christ cling to the truth of God. And they said, we know that you truly teach the way of God, that you're true, that you're grounded in truth. Did they believe that? No, they didn't. But they pointed it out and in turn pointed out their own deceptions. I had to pull this out, some more of my warped humor. I'm waiting to see how many likes my diagnosis gets before I share it with you. So based on how popular it is, and that is truly how the world deals with things today. If it's popular, then it must be true, right? It must be the right diagnosis. If it's popular and everybody's saying it and everybody is pushing it, it must be true. I'm waiting to see how many likes before I give you my diagnosis. What if you had a doctor like that? I'd say, see you later. I don't care how many likes you get or don't get. Tell me what's wrong with me and let's fix it. Let's deal with it. Number three, how do we deal with this? How would you carry the light of Jesus Christ? Boldly expose when people are testing you because Jesus in your life is who people are really trying to find fault with. Now, notice in the next verse, they said, we know you truly teach the way of God in the end of verse 14. And they said, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not? And so Jesus responds, and it says in the beginning of verse 15, but knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, why put me to the test? He called them out for what they were doing. He exposed their fake morality in the sense. And folks, I want to encourage you as believers in Jesus Christ, you don't need to be afraid when hypocrisy is trying to test you as a Christian. You can ask the question right back. Why are you putting me to the test? There's nothing wrong with that. Somehow we think as Christians that we can just fold over and lie down and just let people be hypocrites and test us and throw us under the bus. Jesus didn't do that. He said, why do you test me? He noticed the hypocrisy of their heart. And that word hypocrisy means a reply, or it's like the acting of a stage player. He knew that they were putting on an act. First clue was that the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party were unified together in one, even though they believed two different separate things. That was the first clue. So those that display Christ do not just go with the flow, but bring to light those that are acting or being something that they're really not. And then here's the side that we should focus in on. Jesus noticed the hypocrisy. And did Jesus, when he noticed, is like, I got to defend myself. And I got to make sure and point out that how evil these people are and how good I am. Is that what Jesus did? He didn't. He didn't do that at all. In fact, those that display Christ perceive and care about the condition of people that are without Christ. When you see somebody that's a hypocrite, don't think immediately that you need to defend yourself personally. And don't think that you need to point out all their wrongs, because they point their own wrongs out, as you see here. Do what Jesus did, and that leads us to our next point, is Jesus calmly pointed out the truth without blaming or making it personal. In fact, he deflected the making it personal to an object of teaching for them to discover the truth for themselves. And this is, folks, how we're going to survive in this day as Christians. And it's going to call for prayer, for wisdom on our part, for patience on our part, for the idea that we don't have to out-yell somebody or out-do them, or to point out all their bad things that they've done, even though they're pointing out bad things we have done. But Jesus calmly points out, he says, bring me a denarius and let me look at it. So one side of the coin, you have the picture up there on the screen, was the inscription of Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. And then the other side, it was the inscription that said Pontiff Maximus, which means chief priest. And then the other thing here that Jesus is bringing out is that a denarius was what a person would give in their taxes to the Romans just for existing. So you were charged, every person that would be charged a denarius just for breathing the air. That's what that was. So people were angry about that. The Jews were angry about that. And that's why they said, let's try to trap him here. If he's a true Jew, he's going to say, no, don't pay the taxes. And so those that display Christ forgo getting revenge, instead calmly lead people into the truth. And folks, I pray every day, because that is one of the most difficult things, that Jesus would soften my rough edges, and that I would learn how to surgically use the truth of God as an instrument to lead people to Christ rather than bashing them on the head. How are we going to deal with a country full of hypocrites in the political realm and in the church realm? Definitely by praying that God would give us wisdom. We ought to be on our hands and knees saying, God, give me wisdom how to teach and how to lead people to the truth. How to disarm the crazy emotional people. Maybe it's saying, why don't you bring me a coin? Or why don't you bring me a copy of the Ten Commandments? Or why don't you, look at it for yourself. Why don't you bring me a copy of the Constitution of the United States? Read what this says. He could have called them out with a long list of hypocrisies, but he didn't. Instead, he said, go get a coin. Now, he did that in other places, and there's appropriate times for that. But not here. And that leads us to this last part today, is that we always obey God's created order of law, because Christ in your life is to be marveled by everyone. Here they were trying to trap Jesus, and hoping that if he said, well, let's not pay the taxes, then the Romans would have killed him. And then if he just would come out and say, you have to pay all the taxes to the Romans, and just left it at that, then the Jews would want to kill him. So where would he be? And he's very masterfully made a statement that once we understand it, it's very clear. So those that display Christ understand that God has set up authority calling government and those governing officials to be accountable to him with what they do with their tax law dollars. So I want to come full circle, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 now. Remember what I brought up? Should we pay taxes because some of the taxes go to support abortion? Who in here supports abortions? Nobody in this room. So should we pay our taxes? Are we supporting abortion when we pay our taxes? Not according to what God says in His Word. Not according to what Jesus said. Because if anybody, Caesar was one of the most evil and wicked leaders who used tax money to do all kinds of evil things. Yet Jesus said to pay your taxes. Even more grotesque things than what we're seeing here today, right now at this present time. Caesar, in fact, was himself claiming to be God. But look in Romans, and this is the order of authority that God has set up. And let me tell you, bad government, we need to always realize, is better than no government at all. Which some cities who have decided to defund police are finding out right now. Crime is on the rise. It's unbelievable, the murder rate in Chicago and New York and all these cities that have said, you know, push the police, let's defund the police. And now the murder rate is so high, people are going up in neighborhoods that used to be safe and shooting it all up. Why? Because without law, there's lawlessness and chaos. So bad government is even better than no government at all, even if it's a bad government. And let's see what God says. In Romans 13, he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God and the avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Those are the words that we never want to hear from God's Word. Right? For because of this, you must also pay taxes to the IRS. For the authorities or ministers of God attending to this very thing, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Do you hate some of our senators and politicians that are there right now? If you're honest, some of you would say yes. Most of us would say yes. But do we need to respect them? That's what God's Word says. I do not respect what they stand for. I do not respect their morality. But I respect their position as president or as senator or as representative or whatever that is, because God put them there. This is what Jesus was trying to say and come full circle. But he does so in a very powerful way. Because look how he answers him. He says, bring me this denarius. And let's go back to our text in Mark 12. It says, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, well, Caesar's. And then Jesus responds to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. All right, so let's just take a quick break, and you say, well, this is not a break, but just a little rabbit trail. Because you're probably asking right now in your mind, well, when do Christians disobey the government? And Kent Hughes points out three things, and I've added one thing you may disagree with or not, but at least from what we can see in Scripture, the first one is very important. When we are personally asked to violate a command of God in Scripture, that's when we disobey the government. So when I pay taxes, and that governor chooses to use the taxes for abortion, I am not personally funding the abortion. That governor, who God put in position, is held accountable to God. Not me. So this is what Jesus was teaching. So you need to realize, like Joe Biden putting these things in place, all the blood of the unborn children will be on his head, not ours, because he chose to send the taxes towards that. So, but when we're personally asked, Mike, would you come over here and perform this abortion? Or would you make a donation to this Planned Parenthood? No, I will not. If the government tells me I have to, I will say, sorry, I cannot. Because God has a higher authority. So see, when it's personal, that's why God established this order of authority. The children, right, of your home are not responsible for the mistakes that you make as a parent because you're the authority over them. You see how that works? Same thing here. So when we're personally asked to violate a commandment of God, so when we're personally asked to commit acts that are immoral or unethical, if your boss at work says, you know, this is not right, we know that, but nobody will notice, then we can skip a few steps here and cut a corner here and do this. Say, sorry, I will not. That's your boss telling you, and you could lose your job, but he's making it personal. He's asking you to do it. When you're forced to personally participate in things that go against your Christian conscience. And then last of all, and I think this is appropriate, at least for us in our political setting that we are in right now, is when government officials are disobeying the established rule of law. And the way our government is set up is that the rule of law rules the politicians that are in their office. That's the way this country was formed and founded. Now, when they change the rule of law, which some are pushing to do, socialists and communists that well-meaning Christians have voted in, are wanting to change the Constitution. When that happens, then we must obey. Right? But as long as the rule of law is established in the Constitution of the United States, and that is what rules our land, that's what we go by. And let me explain to you, because remember Paul was arrested a few times and he was about to be beaten. He said, whoa, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen. And in their rule of law was that someone had to have the right to have a trial before they got beaten. There's nothing wrong with you and I in this country right now, at least as it stands, to say the government officials have said this, but it goes against the rule of law of what's established in the Constitution. So if the government says you cannot meet together as Christians and have worship, the Constitution says that we have the freedom to do that, so I'm going to do that. That is why governors right now, there's a governor in California who now had a lawsuit because the rule of law won and he had to pay out money to all these churches because he banned them from meeting. So at least right now, rule of law. So when do we disobey? Only when it becomes personal and only when the rule of law takes precedence in that place. All right, so let's look at this last thing. That was tough to get through. Are you sweating now? Those that display Christ pay their taxes with a guilt-free conscience. And I hope that's helped some of you today, because the government does a lot of evil things. But you can give and pay your taxes with a clean conscience, because God instituted their authority and He will hold them accountable. I feel sad for them and I feel sorry for them. And you should feel sorry for leaders in the church too, because you know what? I know as a pastor and a leader, even in the church realm, will be held to a higher standard of accountability for not telling you the truth. If just one soul goes to hell because you felt comfortable, God will hold me accountable. But notice what Jesus carefully does. This is the cool thing. In one swoop, He corrects the Pharisees by telling them they need to pay taxes because Caesar owns the coins, and whose inscription is on it is who owns it. And then at the same time, He corrects the Herodians, who had sold themselves out to the Romans by saying Caesar is not God. Did you see that there? He made a differentiation. Caesar said, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. But Jesus said, you pay taxes to Caesar and you pay taxes to God. Those are two different people. So you see how Jesus, in a powerful way, and may we have that kind of wisdom when we respond to those that come on the attack. The Herodians were called out because Caesar's not God, and God owns everyone and everything. So basically what he was saying is that Caesar owns some things because his inscription's on it, but God owns all things. And so we give our lives fully over to Him. This is an amazing thing. And I don't know if you've... Is this the first time you've ever seen this or noticed this from this text? It was pretty amazing to me how in one swoop Jesus answers both of their questions and leads with both sides so that neither side could have any ammunition or reason to kill Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. And so we can't be like Snoopy and write the IRS, and I'm writing you to cancel my subscription. Please remove me from your mailing list. Because what happens if we do, we will have a bad testimony and we will not display the light of God. If we don't respect the position of authority of those that God has put in place, the rule of law, have a bad testimony. Just to make it even on the tithing side of things, for giving you give, he said, give to God, the Caesar the things that are God, give to Him. This $100 bill had a, he said, I had a good life, a nice house, fast cars, great vacations, and expensive restaurants. And the $1 bill says, all I ever did was go to church, go to church, go to church. And the $100 bill says, what is church? God wants everything. Not just our money and the offering, our whole life. Because in whose image, whose inscription is on us? We just studied this in our Wednesday night, that we're created in the image of God. His image is stamped on us, and He owns all of us. Those that display Christ follow God's design in order that others can't help but marvel at Jesus. These guys that had come together, these knuckleheads who pointed out their own hypocrisy, Jesus says this astounding thing, and all it says they did is they marveled at Him. That's all they could do. I mean, they were like, drop the mic. That's it. How will others in our country and around us know and marvel at the display of Jesus Christ in our lives? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 tells us, he says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then he goes and qualifies that, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Will that change how we deal with folks around us and government officials? If that is our mission, to cause them to marvel at Jesus and see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There was an American lawyer who had a similar legal battle of what they were dealing with in the text. And so he was reading this biblical text and just was so astounded at it. And he couldn't read it fast enough. And when he saw Jesus' answer and how Jesus basically shut them up, both parties, he actually dropped his Bible, exclaiming, "This is the most amazing wisdom." He marveled. And I just pray, and I want to encourage you to begin to pray. All over in this room, we need in these last days marvelous wisdom from God to surgically bring truth to a nation that is filled with hypocrisy, to a church that's filled with hypocrisy, and to reach people with the gospel, that they would no longer look at us, that they would no longer look at us standing in the way, but they would see the glorious Jesus Christ who puts a stop to the traps. Wouldn't that be great if God would raise up some men and women in this country who would answer some of these horrible questions and stuff that's flying around the internet and social media and in the government settings, so that people just have to drop their mics because they're astounded at the wisdom of God? After all, what do the woke crowd say? I am informed. I'm informed. And those people are not. They're just hillbillies that are uneducated. Shouldn't God's people be the most learned and educated people that there is? So pick this up. Study it. Know it. Read the Constitution of the United States. Study other things. Be truly people that are informed of what truth is. Don't just believe it because it's on the internet, and don't just believe because a person's in a place of authority or they've gotten some doctorate or degree, because some of these universities, they're given degrees. It's frankly quite scary, because they're not teaching people how to use science and how to use truth, and they're giving them degrees, and we have to be careful because some of them are nurses and doctors and things like that. No offense towards our beautiful nurses and doctors here in this room, but we need to look beyond that and be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In a culture that is full of so much confusion, I've been guilty myself of looking at something and believing it online without really checking it out, just because it sounded good and it fit my way of belief. What about you? Will we... This is how people trap us. So we need spiritual wisdom. That's why the prayers of Paul are there. I pray, Lord, that you fill me with the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I can know you better and the hope of my calling. If I know the hope of my calling, if I know and understand the gospel and the truth of what Jesus has done, that is going to give me uncanny wisdom. Think of Joseph. Think of Joseph. Think of Joseph who was given dreams. Think of Daniel who was given dreams and revelation. He was the ability to interpret dreams of kings with cunning wisdom. God can give that to us today. He says in the last day, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams and prophecies. We need the power of God in these days. So are you praying for it in your life? Stop just filling your mind with information and let it get to the heart and let the Spirit flow through your life. I want to invite the worship team to come today. Lord, have your way in our lives. Oh, Jesus, we cry out to you and we need you. And we ask your forgiveness, God, for our ignorance in many places and many ways, God, where we have cried out things and we've maligned others, Lord Jesus, because we haven't done the research behind those things, God. We are guilty, Lord. We are guilty. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would cleanse us of our hypocrisy. And, Lord, fill us. Fill us, God. We're crying out to you and begging you for the wisdom from heaven that James talks about that is pure and peaceful and passion for Jesus, for truth. Oh, Lord God, would you come and transform us from the inside out? And may we be people who display light in a dark land. Lord, I pray in my life, the lives of my dear brothers and sisters who are my family here, would you expose all the things in our hearts that get in the way, displaying your glory. Welcome, Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, I want to pray because I've been so fickle and many times in my witness I've been so ashamed and fearful. I haven't taken a stand as you did here. I bought into the cultural mandates and preferences. Forgive me. Forgive us, God. And I pray that you'd fill us with your fullness and power and fire and passion that is so fine-tuned like a surgical instrument, Lord, to cause all those around us to marvel at the kindness and the patience and the wisdom and the love of Jesus that flows out of our life. In the middle of hostility, God, that we would be pockets of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, and if you want.